That we've gotten is that in Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of God is the fullness of God in us. So it's like Elohim. It's like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Through Holy Spirit, we have that fullness because he's no less God than God. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit. And although they are have different personalities and different functions, they're one. And what's exciting is that in us is the fullness of God. Because he says he wants us to have that. It says in Ephesians, to know the love of God that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So it's through love that we will be filled with that fullness. Isn't that amazing? I just love that. I found this thing, and I wanted to share it with you. Because I keep wanting to write it down, but it is so long in terms of a description of Holy Spirit, of what he does. Listen to this. This is incredible. This is a description from the concordance behind the New King James. Okay? So it's pretty wild. Here we go. These are his attributes in action. He is eternal, Holy Spirit. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's the Spirit of glory and of God. He's the author of the new birth. He inspires scripture. He's the source of wisdom, the source of miraculous power. He appoints and sends ministers. He directs where the gospel should be preached. He indwells in the saints. He comforts the church. He sanctifies the church. He is the witness, convicting of sin, the unbeliever, and of righteousness, the believer, and of judgment. He has got through his personality, he creates and gives life. He appoints and commissions his servants. He directs where to preach. He instructs what to preach. He spoke in and by the prophets. He strives with sinners. He can be grieved. He teaches. He testifies of Christ. He convicts, guides, glorifies. He can be tested. He can be resisted. He helps in our weaknesses. He searches all things. He works according to his own will. He proceeds from the Father. He comes through Christ's intercession. He's given by Christ. He's sent in the name of Christ. He abides forever with the saints. He dwells with and in saints. He's known by saints. He teaches the saints. Testifies of Christ. Edifies the church. Imparts the love of God. Communicates joy to the saints. Imparts hope. The world cannot receive him. He is promised as a spirit of wisdom given to the saints. He directs the way of godliness. He teaches saints to answer persecutors. He reveals the future. He brings the words of Christ to remembrance. He guides into all truth. He reveals the things of Christ, directs the decisions of the church, reveals the things of God, enables ministers to teach. The natural man will not receive the things of the Holy Spirit. All are invited to attend to his instruction. His emblems are water, fertilizing, refreshing, freely giving, cleansing, abundant, fire, illuminating, purifying, searching, wind, powerful, reviving, independent, sensible in its effects, oil, consecrating, comforting, healing, rain and dew, imperceptible, abundant, a dove, gentle, a voice, guiding, speaking, warning, a seal, authenticating, securing, a gift. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's incredible. I want to write that up, but there's...
That?
Yes, I can. I'm going to have to write it up. That's incredible. When I started reading it, it made me understand him in a deeper fullness. And there are scriptural references for every single one of them. So it's, I might even scan it for you. Because yeah. I think it would be great. I would love to disseminate it. I think I'm going to scan it. It's a lot to write, and then, because there's all the references, and then put it up on the website. And from there, people can just look at that and realize, I mean, because they'll learn so much from every scripture that speaks about him and what he does. And because people treat him like a junior God, he is not junior God. He's God. Isn't that incredible? We've got God living in us. Not junior God. The whole deal. It's amazing.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing. You know? So when he's teaching me now about...
I guess that makes sense that Jesus would have...
Jesus would have what? Say again.
Jesus would have us pray, your kingdom come to earth as... Or, yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because we have all of the kingdom inside us.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we relax out of us. Like, out of us. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's why if there's anything that we need to learn in terms of whether it's for healing, whether it's for worship, whether it's for grace or our relationship, that fullness will attend to teaching us the fullness of God, who the Holy Spirit is in us. It's not something we have to earn. It's not something we have to strive for. Like he says, you strive to enter his rest. It's already ours. We only need to become awakened. And like he told me yesterday about the bride of Christ, these were Holy Spirit's words, the bride of Christ is Sleeping Beauty, and I am the kiss. When he said that to me, and it was in the middle of a teaching, and I had to write it down because I might have forgotten. And it actually was in one way, it was very helpful for me too, because sometimes you see things that are happening in the body and it can be very discouraging and upsetting, and you can get to a point where you're like, oh, this is too hard, or not anything that is too hard, but just more, sometimes it's upsetting to see how people in the body treat each other. And I was feeling like that. And then he gives me this amazing statement, you know, from his heart, from Holy Spirit's heart. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's it. And he said to me, that's how I see her. I see the bride of Christ as Sleeping Beauty. Don't mock her. Don't put her down. Don't disparage her. Don't get frustrated with her. And if you do get frustrated, you talk to me about it. You do not talk to the body. That's what he said to me. And I thought, okay. Because some caustic attitude can enter in. That cynicism can enter in.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit wants that. I'm not Holy Spirit. The enemy wants that. The Holy Spirit wants us to be pure and righteous in what we say. You know, we're not going to edify the body by tearing her down, tearing her to shreds and picking on her. That isn't going to edify the body. Who wants to wake up to that? If I was Sleeping Beauty and there was some guy yelling at me, screaming at me, telling me I wasn't doing enough and I needed to heal everybody, or I was, you know, I was such a slouch because I don't do enough, or, you know, you better read your Bible more, girl, or whatever it was, would I wake up? Forget it. I'm staying asleep. Much easier to stay in La La Land. But if you actually, the Holy Spirit bends down and kisses her awake and says, come, come, beloved, come. Let me take you to those places you know not of. Now that's pretty hard to resist. And that's what he's telling me personally to do that, because I notice there can be a shift with people when you do get in that argumentative level and the disputes start to happen and people want to question and justify and argue their point and prove that you're wrong because they've listened to some other teaching. They don't like your teaching because it's not in line with this other teaching, and there's no Holy Spirit in it at all. Because then it just becomes a battle of minds.
Wisdom from above is first of all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That it is peace loving, courteous, it is willing to yield the reason, full of compassion and good.
So just give us that scripture.
The the scripture is James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then it is peace-loving, courteous, it is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned. And the Amplified in presence. Harvest of righteousness is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness and a peaceful mind free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts.
Mmm. Wow. Now there's a mouthful.
That's cool.
That's yeah. That and that's
yeah,
that's.
I really like some of that.
So. Yes. Well, that's that whole concept of Sleeping Beauty. You know, we cannot awake Sleeping Beauty with truncheons and machetes. She will not wake up. That will not wake her up. That will put her to sleep longer. But if the body of Christ, as Sleeping Beauty, is told that she... But if Sleeping Beauty is told, you're worthy, you're saved by grace, you have the indwelling Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, in you, He will guide you into all truth. Come with me. Holy Spirit saying, come with me. That is amazing. How humble. For him to beckon the bride. And that's what he wants to do. And but he can't do it if people are yelling and screaming and judging and pointing fingers and condemning. He's not going to do it. That's because he's not in that. So that's impossible. He's not even going to be there for that. But he will be there for us to share the truth so that they, because I see so many people in the body of Christ, so many believers, so much of the bride, dormant, scared, lost, confused, sick, weary, and just wanting to give up because they don't know who loves them. Because they haven't been taught. And I'm finding out, even in Kenya, it's incredible what's going on in Kenya, that with this one preacher, he's preaching to, sometimes it's to other ministers as well as people, you know, other as well as just believers or people who don't believe yet. And in his preaching, he is getting to this place of where people will, other ministers will come up to him and say, I've never heard this, Grace. I've never known this, but I want to know more. I mean, isn't that amazing? And then if once they get to know Grace, they are going to be able to impart that to the people that they share with and their congregation. And what's happening there is these other ministers are realizing, you know, there's been so much law taught there. And so little grace, and even if there has been grace, it's been mixed. And we know what that's like. That's no grace at all. And and they're finding grace. That one man came up to him, a young man. You know, he had all kinds of people either understanding God for the first time, being set free, the shackles coming off. It was amazing. He went on a couple of trips. And this one man came up to him and shook his hand. He said, now I can follow your God.
Wow.
I know.
That's beautiful.
Because they didn't know who he was. Well, who would want to follow somebody who's a taskmaster who's going to hit you every time you make a boo-boo? Nobody wants that. Who needs that? That's like, you know, that's like a lot of the fathers, unfortunately, they've come from. They can be very violent. And they don't want that again. Why would they follow that God? So I just... I just find that amazing, you know, that without, it shows you, he said something the other day and I thought, oh, this is such a good thing for the body to hear, that when, you know, in when he spoke about you will not be forgiven if you don't forgive, you know, when he talks to the disciples, and he's talking basically to the Jewish people right there, right? Before he's been crucified, buried, and risen. And in it, it says, you know, there's that conditional, and they're still living in that. A lot of Christians are, most of us have, living in this conditional, oh, God will forgive me if I forgive them. But he already forgave you. Well, is he going to take it back now? I've received Jesus. I'm forgiven. Then what it said, and then people say, oh, no, that means later, down the road. Well, you're either forgiven or you're not. The blood is enough or it isn't. We have to make a decision about that. And then he was making a reference to what Paul says, that we forgive as Christ forgave us. That's what we do now. It's not on our own effort. It's not a decision. It's not an act of will at all. It is through Christ. And I, from having him say that, I understood why when I've had, you know, such a deep wound, sometimes people wound us incredibly deeply, and you cannot get in of yourself a desire to even forgive them, let alone doing it. And I've recalled the times when that's happened, and I've said, Father, I can't. I can't forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I don't even know where to start, but I'll let you forgive them through me. That's what it means. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Isn't that amazing? So that's
because when Jesus was saying, it's like to bring us to the end of ourselves, to realize that we needed a Savior.
Yes.
We don't even know how to love without him first loving us.
That's right. That's right. Of course not. And so even, you know, this is what's so beautiful about it. We can be as children with him. And it says we need to be, you know, or we won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's a daily basis. That's not the one time deal. I'm born again. That's every day. Do I want to live in the kingdom of heaven, or do I want to live in this reality of everything's miserable? I can't get my way. I'm so upset. God doesn't love me. You know, how do we want to live? And what I've been noticing is, even when I didn't understand, this is how gracious and loving the Father is, even when I didn't understand. So all I could do is go to him and say, you forgive them for me, because it was too horrible what had happened. And he took it. He took the rage and the hurt and the anger and the fury and the unforgiveness. He took it immediately. When, without understanding it, as long as we go to him as his children, we don't have to understand all the theology. Theology might come later. Now I have the theology to back it up. Now I've got, oh, great, that worked because I forgave as Christ forgave me. It's through Christ that I did that. But it wasn't me doing it. It was Christ in me. It wasn't my, you know, in terms of personality, it wasn't me and my personality saying, yes, yes, I should forgive them. That's a good thing to do. And people try to talk themselves into that. And that's why they have these problems with it, because they've never really forgiven in the first place. Oh, yes, I forgave them in 1982. I said so. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is that it leaves your heart. It's not even there anymore to remember. That's what God does with our forgiveness. He doesn't remember what we did. It's gone. It's no longer even in his memory. Because he says he will remember our iniquities no more. That's his promise. That's what he's done. They're not remembered. And that same ability is in us because of him. And that's through Holy Spirit, who is that fullness in us, and we have access to both the Father and the Son. It's just amazing. It's something that, like I said before, you can only understand through revelation. Not through reasoning. Reasoning isn't going to give you the understanding of these spiritual depth. Only revelation.
Right before you said something about revelation, I was like, that's because she has a revelation, but Jesus, I was like, I need the revelation. I was like, well, that's really good because she knows it.
Right.
I get frustrated sometimes because I don't understand some things. But I was just like, I need the revelation of that. And then you're just like, oh, I'm not going to understand
it. And then what you do, Ashley, is you literally ask for it. That's how I've gotten it. It's not because I'm such a genius. It's because I've just said, Holy Spirit, I've come to him truly as innocent. I don't know. I'm clueless here. That's how I come. I don't understand this. Teach me, Holy Spirit. That's it. And then he does it in his own steps with me. We step in it together. He speaks to me, whether it's you know, when I'm making spaghetti, or whether it's I'm, you know, asleep, or whether it's I'm watching a movie, or whether it's I'm ministering to somebody. He's speaking all the time through impressions, through sense, my feelings, through thoughts, through pictures. And the relationship develops just by you actually engaging it. You know, just like when you first are going to meet somebody and you don't know them at all, and it's your first time and you're going to go to a cafe and you're going to have a coffee. Yeah, you've never met them. You don't know what they look like. You don't know their likes or dislikes. You don't know their personality. You don't know anything. You're just going to have a coffee. Start out like that with Holy Spirit, because he knows everything about you. And you will gain, you will get to learn to, you will learn to know him by just asking him. It really is that simple. It isn't rocket science. And it isn't, oh, some are chosen to know and some are not. That's not the truth at all. We are all given Holy Spirit. We just have to open our hearts to him, open our minds to him. And that isn't an efforting thing. That's just saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't get it. Teach me about you. Who are you? It really is that simple. And then let him do the teaching. We don't do the teaching. We let him do it. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Seriously, you're not going to figure it out. You won't figure it out in your head, so you can forget it. It won't happen. You can bang your head on the wall all day long. You're never going to get this that way. It's relationship. That's what it is. So even if you think you're really bad at relationship, and you don't even know how to do that, even in a human level, you can ask him, teach me how to relate to you, Holy Spirit. I don't know how. He will teach you that. He will teach you everything, because he says he leads us into all truth, and he teaches us all things. All. All. That's it. He'll teach you how to even relate to him. That's part of the teaching. Is don't put pressure on yourself. You don't have to worry about it or figure it out. You just ask him, and then that's the invitation for him to come to coffee with you. Believe me, he will show up every time, because he's in you. He's just waiting for the call. It really is that simple. And he will take you so much further and more quickly than you expect. He really will. He does the behind the scenes. And sometimes you're aware of what he's doing, but most of the time he's working behind the scenes. You're absolutely right. He's like the theater. He's the production master in a theater. He's doing all this work that nobody sees, and they see the final production, which is you fully embellished with the living God. But he's working on it behind the scenes. That's a brilliant way of saying it. That's right. He teaches you without you even knowing it. That's exactly right. That's how fluid. And I call him, he's called himself this to me recently, the Holy Surgeon. And as a Holy Surgeon, when he makes an incision and he has to do something in our hearts because we've been wounded, he goes in, he heals the wound, repairs whatever damage is. You don't even know you've been in surgery. There's no scar. There's no pain. You're just different. That's how he works. That's exactly how he works. And so what I'm noticing also, and this happens in a lot of people in the body of Christ, is that the enemy will tell you, you don't have a relationship with Holy Spirit. Well, that's the biggest lie, because he lives in you. And he's working with you all the time, and he is working behind the scenes. Now, the more we engage with him, the more we're going to grow. That's true. And the more we will recognize when he works on with us, and he's changing things and transforming us. But he's in us anyway. We can have a relationship where we don't ever go to coffee with him. Or we can have a relationship where we, you know, every day, oh, it's coffee time. And it doesn't mean you have to sit down and have a literal coffee with Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, I like doing that because I love coffee. You know, but he doesn't do that with everybody. Some people want to have a mint julep. Some people, you know, want to eat, what is it, those chocolate-covered raisins or whatever they're called. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that's special to them, in whatever time they want to take to be with him specifically, but also just in their day. As you're saying, you're going about la, 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 you, like you said, and there, you know, all of a sudden you notice something is completely different in you. He's changed something in your world, something inside. You have a different perspective. Say again. There now?
Hi.
Hi. So what we were, what we were discussing is that how Holy Spirit, Ashley had a really good way of describing it, works behind the scenes. You don't even know what he's doing, but you just notice it later. And I think that's a really important way of seeing it, because we sometimes want to control what he's doing. We don't even want to control what he's doing. We want to do it instead of him. It's worse than that, isn't it? We want to take over. Rather than he's doing it behind the scenes, we can't even see what he's doing. But we do see the result. You know, and the final result is us living in communion with God in fullness. That's what he's working on behind the scenes. And whatever needs to be done next to bring that to fruition, that's what he works on. But I was saying also to Ashley, that we, if we engage him consciously and ask him to help us, we're going to grow so much faster and further and deeper. And that's what we want. We don't want to have this just, it's just not about us being some perfect, I get this picture of a, you know, piece of art, you know, like a vase or something. It's not about us being so, just this perfect, beautiful vase that everyone can look at. We want to have depth with him. It's not what we look like. It's who he makes us into, you know, who we were called to be in the first place. And that's what he's teaching a lot about, I find. So I know you had something to say, Lizzie, so go ahead.
I totally agree that as we become transparent with God, which he knows our thoughts anyway, so we really don't need to hesitate to pour our hearts out to him and trust him that he has the answers to all our questions. And then as we do that, others see our transparency with the relationship with the Holy Spirit and how he actually responds, and then they can move into that as well.
Yes.
As opposed to being held back by fear or condemnation, which is usually the devil. The devil doesn't want you to be intimate with God, obviously, because then you'd have a solution to all the problems that he's trying to, you know, set up traps for you and stuff. But the Holy Spirit can just immediately, you know, illuminate something for you. Whereas if you feel like you have to stay away or whatever, like you kind of stay in the dark. The Holy Spirit wants to always be our teacher and always encourage us and comfort us.
Exactly. Exactly. It's, I think that's excellent, that idea of being transparent with him. And not to think that there's some parts of us we must conceal from God. I mean, as if we could. I mean, it's quite silly to even consider that idea. But we do tend to do that. And to be that transparent, and what a gift that is to the rest of the body. You're absolutely right. That is such a gift to the body. And the more of the body that becomes transparent, the more the rest of the body will know it's safe. You know, those who pioneer that and step out, it's not that they get hero status or anything like that, but they can then be those trailblazers for the rest of the body to say, you mean I can share with God that I feel like I don't ever want to do this, I don't care about, I didn't want to help that person, and I didn't feel like this when I was thought I should feel like this, and I didn't want to heal, and oh, that didn't work, and I can share all that with him, and he's not going to crucify me and tear me to shreds, but instead he's going to comfort me, guide me, teach me, and strengthen me. That's what we want. And that's what he does. We just have to, you know, actually accept that that's how he is. Holy Spirit is not, all those things we read about him, nowhere does it say Holy Spirit is a taskmaster. It doesn't say that at all. He's not a taskmaster. You know, he is our helper. He wants to help us to be who we're meant to be, to allow that to just emerge. He doesn't want to hinder us, and he certainly doesn't want to condemn us, because that was done on Jesus. He received the condemnation. If we could finally get that one finished, so many things would just fall away. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it isn't conditional. If you walk in the Spirit, it doesn't say if, to those who walk in the Spirit. That's an identity. That's who we are. We are the body of Christ. We are in Christ Jesus, and we walk according to the Spirit. That doesn't mean we ever make a mistake, because it says in John 1 John that if we say we never sin, we're lying. So no, it's not saying that you have to do everything perfectly without any error. That is not what it's saying. That's our identity. That would be like a dog tag on us. Oh, this one's in Christ, and they walk according to the Spirit. That's it. That's what we get. That's what we get to be. That's who he's made us to be. Not people that he's seeking to find flaws with. And you didn't measure up today. And what am I going to do with you? Wow, I don't even know why I ever accepted you. And then we start to think, oh, maybe I really never was accepted in the first place. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, that's our identity. Who? Who do not walk. That's us. We're the ones who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, because the Spirit of the living God is in us. So how can we walk according to the flesh? We may make fleshly decisions. We may make mistakes. We may be selfish sometimes. We may choose not to listen to God, but we still are those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not even under that law anymore. So how can someone say, now you're walking according to the flesh. Oh, you're being very naughty. We're not even under the law of the flesh anymore. We are those who are in Christ, who walk according to the Spirit. And that's our identity. And once the church actually gets that, they will, 90% of their time will no longer be wasted on trying to prove that they're okay. And that God's not mad at them, and, oh, am I in today or am I out today? That's what most of the church, most of the body of Christ, is guilt-ridden, feels ashamed, and feels they don't measure up to God. And the truth is, we never measured up to God, but through Christ Jesus, we are in Christ. We are one with God and the Father, and he adores us because he sent his only begotten Son for us, because he loved us. It doesn't say he sent his only begotten Son because we were such lousy creeps. For God so judged the world and thought it was such a stinking mess, he sent his only begotten Son. It says, because for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. It was a love letter. Jesus was his love letter to us, signed in his blood. And if we finally got that, all the teachings that make believers feel like they're not good enough, they don't measure up, they're guilt-ridden, they better watch themselves. Have you fulfilled the Ten Commandments? All of that would drop away. And they could actually learn to commune with Holy Spirit, be filled with the fullness of God, and reach out to a crying, dying world. That's what this is about. Once we get to that place of knowing we are beloved, we are accepted, we are one, we have so much to give. First, the body has to get to that. It's not that you're supposed to be guilt-ridden when you don't have that understanding, and you're sick yourself, and you're hurting yourself, and you're confused, and you don't even know if you're worthy. We don't want to send people out in that capacity. That's horrible to send them out like that. That's not what God's asking us to do. But he does say that we encourage each other. We bear one another's burdens. We ask for that wisdom that comes from above, that is peaceable. We seek his face. We ask the Father to draw people's hearts, whether they're in the body or not, because a lot of in the body don't have their hearts drawn to the Father because they don't know what they're supposed to be doing, and because they feel so guilty, because they haven't realized they are not under condemnation anymore, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the law of sin and death. They are free. Right now. No matter what else they do ever. Because that's what it did. That's what the cross did. Freed us forever. Because it says he perfected us forever by the one offering. Now, people will come and say, no, but you could go away from God and you can do this and you can make a mistake and you can turn your back. I'm perfected forever. That is not an excuse to run around sin on purpose. If I'm perfected forever and I know that identity, who wants to sin purposely? Or seek it out as a lifestyle anyway. You know, sometimes we're going to make foolish mistakes. Sometimes we're going to purposely do it because we just don't want to listen to God. And the consequences are, you know, very unpleasant. So, you know, we learn that pretty quickly, just like a child who touches the hot stove. But we are his children. And he is the Father. And we are one in him. And we're perfected forever. So it's final. And from that knowing that that final position that we have, and it's not just a position, that final heart, we are embedded in the heart of God. He cannot take us out of his heart. We're one with his heart. What's he going to do? Do a surgery on himself and cut his own heart out? Jesus was his heart, and he sent him. And he gave everything for that. And if we could actually see ourselves that we are his heart, that he was the heart of the Father sent for us, because God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. If we would get that and know the depth of what that means, and you can ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I don't understand the love of the Father. I don't understand what it means that he so loved the world that he gave Jesus. Teach me what that means. It will be unbelievable what he teaches you, the depths of it. You don't have to figure it out. If he leads you to look at scripture, great. If he leads you to a teaching, great. If he leads you just to take a walk in the woods, great. Just let him teach you. And you may be just doing the most mundane things, washing the car, putting the laundry out, whatever. And he'll reveal himself to you. He'll reveal that truth about the love of the Father. His heart was already given through Jesus. And he paid for that, for the heart that we've become in him. We're now merged with him. We're one with him. Co-joined. His children. His heirs. And we don't need to seek that anymore. We have to stop looking to be saved. We are saved. It's finished. Salvation has come. Today is the day of salvation. It has been done. The work of the cross is a completed work. And there's nothing else that needs to be added. Now when we are in the world and communing with him and doing whatever it is he calls us to do in our lives, it's from a place of we are already saved. We are already perfected. We are already free. We don't have to gain that freedom. And that's something he really wants the body to know. Salvation has already come. Now we just get to be with him. Now it's like, let's learn to live with Daddy. Let's learn to live with the Holy Spirit. Let's learn to live with Jesus. Oh, what is this all about? How are you one and three? I don't understand. You know, we can ask him anything. He's one of those, he's a God. Elohim is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. He is a God that can be asked anything. He's never going to say, how dare you ask me that? You can run up to him, snuggle up, and say, okay, Daddy, I don't get this. Or, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me what this means. It's just relationship. It's no, you know, mathematical formula. It's like you don't learn how to be a friend to somebody. You just, becoming a friend, you learn it as you go, but it's not something you have an instruction book. How to be a good friend. You should do A first. Oh, and then the second thing you should do is this. That's not how we relate to people. Well, we don't relate to God that way either. There's no book on it. How to relate to God in 7 easy lessons. No. We learn as we go. We learn by getting to know him and talking with him and hearing, getting to know what his voice is like. And his voice can be a picture, his voice can be an impression, it can be so many things. It's not always in a thought form. So I think that's something the body just needs to recognize. They're already saved. If you've come to Jesus Christ, you've surrendered yourself to him, and you've given yourself over, you've asked for him to fill you, you've asked to be forgiven, it's done. Once and for all, it's done. And then if we make mistakes in the future, we go to our Father and say, Lord, that was so stupid. Why did I do that? Okay, help me next time so I don't do those things. Or help me grow up. Or help me not to be so easily offended. And he will. It's that easy. It's a constant. So we'll just finish it up and we'll catch up then. I can't hear you. Shalom to everyone.